So let's just read from not those verses 28 and 29, which we're familiar with, but from 30 onwards, chapter 2 of Joel, verse 30. Let's start there. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Read into chapter 3. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there, on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land, and they have cast lots of my people, have given a boy in exchange for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they may drink. Indeed, what have you done with me, O Tyre and Sidon, all the coasts of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my prized possessions, also the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has. So at the end of page 6, just a little bit of an overlap, we find here that there's the judgment upon the Gentile nations, and certainly a chastening discipline or judgment upon the nation of Israel as well, in order to bring them to repentance. So you can see in that last major paragraph on the bottom of page 6, that when eventually God's chastening discipline or judgment comes upon Israel, it will bring about their repentance, as we find in Zechariah, and then their regeneration and their restoration to the land and to the Lord. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit had already come in a universal way, as we know on that particular day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2 in the preaching. But the Holy Spirit will also do his work, not quite in the same way, in the tribulation time, but in a restricting way. There will be many saved even in the tribulation period, both Jew and Gentile, especially the Gentile. And if we go back to Zechariah 6, so we go forward because we're in Joel. Joel leading on to a few books. But go to the last book, but one of the Old Testament, which is Zechariah chapter 8. You've got it in your notes and I've underlined it. This is very important because what a change is going to take place, which is the millennium, of course, the millennium, in chapter 8 of Zechariah, instead of the awful upheavals and the destruction of the judgment that is coming, both on the Gentiles and the chastening purposes of God upon Israel, to bring them to repentance, the Lord here is giving you a description of what life will be like in Jerusalem. Let's read Zechariah chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous or jealous for Zion with great zeal or jealousy. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. The Lord's coming back. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain or kingdom of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Here's the description. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again in the streets of Jerusalem, one with his staff and his hammer, because the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. What a marvelous description there of peace and quiet, no terrorism. What a change from the description of the terrible judgments in the book of Joel. This is a millennium that Zechariah 8 is describing for old people and children now able to play in the streets in safety and joy. So in other words, children playing safely in the street. What a difference that will be. But that's in the future. It's also the remnant of Israel, the Jewish people, because Zechariah tells us that two-thirds of the Jewish people will die in the awful tribulation time at Armageddon, but one-third will come through the fire. So these are the signs also for Israel. If you look in those verses at the end of Job, back to Job now, and you'll find here at the end of verse 32, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Jew and Gentile, and even in the tribulation period, because there's awful descriptions of that time, blood, fire, pillars of smoke, dark and the moon, blood and so on, before the coming of the day of the Lord. So even that comes even before the day of the Lord starts. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, you know where Mount Zion is, the south of the sea, there shall be deliverance or rescue by the Lord. And the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. That's what Zechariah chapter 8 is. But look at those awful scenes we looked at before and overlap in verse 30. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great terrible day of the Lord. Now what's interesting here, the wonders in the heavens will be visible in the skies. Now I'm going to refer you now to the book of Revelation. It's pretty gruesome, but I'm going to stick with it. Go to Revelation chapter 16, would you please? Chapter 16. Let's start with chapter 6 first. Chapter 6, then chapter 6. Revelation 6, and then chapter 16. Chapter 6 of Revelation. And would you look at verses 12 and 13? Revelation 6, 12 and 13. John writing what he sees. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. And the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. That's into the first half. Go on to chapter 8, just for a moment, on one verse. In chapter 8, and look at verse 12. Revelation 8 and verse 12. This is the fourth trumpet and the angel. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day, 8 hours, did not shine. It's in chapter 8 with the fourth trumpet. I go to chapter 16 now, and look from verse 3. Revelation 16, verse 3. A bit gruesome, I know. We shan't see this. Here's the second bowl. This is in the towards the end of the 7 years. Bowls come in rapid succession. Chapter 16, verse 3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. I heard the angel of the water say, you're righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be or who is to come, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Look from verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent nor give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. That means total darkness. And they ignored their tongues because of them. As I said before in previous weeks, we do not know total darkness. Imagine total blackout where you just cannot see anything. You can feel the darkness. We don't get anything like that. There's some element you can feel the darkness. They ignored their tongues because of the pain. See where you're going, everything. I just thought I mentioned that. Total blackout. How terrifying. Total darkness, and it leads on to the terrible day of the Lord. That's what Joel says. It hasn't really started yet. But wonderful it is that there will be those who call upon the Lord in Mount Zion and Jerusalem, and they shall be delivered, they shall be saved. Mount Zion, I would say to Jerusalem. And there's a reference, if you'd like to turn to it, please. There are two references. The first one, we go back to Isaiah, and then we go to Romans. Isaiah 59. And it's quoted again in Romans 11, that's why I put them together. Isaiah 59, and if you look at verse 16, and we read to the end of the chapter, quite a few verses, well worth it though. Isaiah 59, read from verse 16 to the end. This is the Lord speaking, as the Lord saw everything at the end of verse 15. He's told that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness. It sustained him. For he put on the righteousness of the breastplate, the helmet of salvation on his head, he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, like Revelation 19, and was clad with zeal as a cloak, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, that's the second coming. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you, my words which I put in your mouth, you shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. How important it is to tell truth to our children. So all the judgments are coming, God intends to save a remnant. Now, you've got Romans 11, which is a quotation, really. Romans 11. It's a quotation, in part, from Isaiah 59. Romans 11, it's in your notes, bottom line, page 6. Romans 11, 26 and 27. And so all Israel will be saved, says Paul. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sin. He's quoting Isaiah 59, isn't he? So that is what, in fact, if you look at the end, the last line of page 6, it is as if God says to Israel, come when you're called. Go on to page 7. Of course, then they will escape the clutches of the Antichrist and all the armies of the nations surrounding Israel and Jerusalem, and they will survive. Now, you've got Obadiah. Now, we're going to study Obadiah, which really is so much linked with Job. We're not going to start that tonight. We'll do that first thing when we start in the order. Obadiah. Now, beyond Job, you've got Amos. So after that, you've got this one chapter of Obadiah, just 21 verses. So we should go beyond Amos and find Obadiah. It's only 9 chapters of Amos. Go on after that. You've got Obadiah. And we study Obadiah, and it's very relevant. I'll just say one thing, because it's relevant here. Obadiah's message is to the enemies of Israel that God is going to judge them, and he names the nations. That's the main message of Obadiah. When God says, you harm my people, I'm going to judge you. It will be worth doing. So it's linked to see with Job. So we look at verse 17, would you? In Obadiah, one chapter, it's only 21 verses. Verse 17. And it's linked, of course, with Job, Isaiah 59, and Romans 11. Verse 17 of Obadiah. After Amos, you've got Obadiah. But on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. That's what Isaiah 59 says in Romans 11 quotes. And there shall be holiness. No, that's not. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. What's that? The land in its entirety, as God promised Abraham, and that's a massive land. They're going to possess their possessions. You know, we do Obadiah. Deliverance, holiness to Israel. That's what it says. Which means, of course, total safety and security. Now, you've got two quotations there in the top of page 7 from Isaiah. And I'm quoting, well, it's all written down on page 7 at the top, Isaiah 4 and verse 2 are quoted. In that day shall the branch of the Lord, and the branch, of course, says the Lord Jesus, the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Isaiah 4, verse 2. And the next one is in chapter 37. That's what it says. The remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root, and the word is root, downward, the root down, of course, and bear fruit upward. Now that is physical, horticultural, but spiritual. It's Isaiah 37, verses 31 and 32. The other one was Isaiah 4, verse 2. It's all in there. Isaiah 4, verse 2. Isaiah 37, verses 31 and 32, which says this. The remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. That's what the word says. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Wonderful verses in Isaiah. We're in chapter 3 of Job, and it's section 4. Right at the beginning of our study, we divided Joel into these sections. This is the fourth one. In your notes, the promise and the execution of judgment upon the Gentiles. Now, really, one sense, you ought to start it. And it's in the whole of chapter 3, but ends with the blessing on Israel at the end. Now, look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, "For behold, in those days and at that time." Now, that is a clear and designated time in God's precise planning. It's like at the end of Jeremiah, which we'll also go back to in just a moment. And in the Hebrew, not in our English Bibles, in the chapter 4, we haven't got a chapter, but there is in the Hebrew, there is a chapter 4. And chapter 4 begins with this. So obviously the other chapters are smaller, divided up. And in the Hebrew, chapter 4 is where our chapter 3 is. In those days and at that time. That's very precise, isn't it? Now go back to Jeremiah 30, and you can add this to your notes if you wish to. Going back to Jeremiah 30, which we have looked at before. Jeremiah 30, I'm going to start at the last verse and go into chapter 31, you remember it. Chapter 30 of Jeremiah and verse 24. I'm going to read straight into verse 1 of chapter 31. Jeremiah 30, verse 24. "The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will consider, at the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel." Chapter 31. Where he establishes a new covenant. You see, as I've said before, there are no chapter and verse divisions in the Hebrew Scriptures. So we can read verse 24 straight on into verse 1 of chapter 31. It's like when you write a letter, you don't put chapter and verses there, coordinates to find out what you want to find. But this is continuous in the Hebrew. But verse 24 goes straight into chapter 1, verse 31. "In the latter days you'll consider it at the same time." And that's just like what we read in Joel chapter 3. A precise time is planned by the Lord when he will act in this way. In other words, it's future. Nothing like this has ever happened before, that's obvious. So this is a promise and the execution of judgment, as we have in the first verse. Why is God going to judge the Gentile nation? What's he going to do? Why? What is he doing here? Well, of course, they're godless, fine for the Lord, they run their own life without him. That's another thing. There's the other reason I've written in the notes, the other reason is anti-Gentile nation is the real reason. And that is why we're going to look at Obadiah next term. It's God's answer to anti-Semitism. "You touch my people and I will destroy you." So when's the time of this judgment? Well, it's when he brings them all being prepared. And of course, you know very well that in Jeremiah, there's a description of how the Jewish people are going to come. The fishers, well, if you go fishing, you try to lure the fish onto your bait. So the Lord is saying, "I'm tugging at the heart of my people." The other one is the hunter. God says to them, "I either draw you back by just touching your heart." So that's how it is. So anti-Semitism is certainly the Jews' hope. We'll continue on eventually until all the Jews survive. I wish the church had realized that. Would you go to Matthew's Gospel? I've underlined it because this is important. Find Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Just the one verse. These two chapters, of course, are very much future. It's nothing to do with the church at all. It's about Israel and the nations. Matthew 24 and verse 31. Same principle. Matthew 24, verse 31. "And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect," that's the Jewish people, "from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." In other words, all from the earth. He's going to bring them home. But that's at the end of the tribulation period. 24 is about that time. So that's Matthew 24, 31. And I've given you a quotation there of Deuteronomy in your notes. I'm quoting it. If you haven't got the notes, write down Deuteronomy 32 and verse 43. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 43. And I quote it here in the middle of your notes. "Rejoice, O you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful to his land and to his people." Now, that's in the Authorized Version. I'm reading from the New King James tonight. And in the New King James, and I'll quote that as well, instead of being merciful to his land, he says, "I'll bring atonement for you. He'll render vengeance to his adversaries and bring atonement. They will see him whom they pierced and they'll be open for their cleansing. They'll see him whom they pierced." So in other words, this is all planning restored blessings of Judah and Jerusalem and eventually the whole of Israel. Now, back in Joel, then to go back to chapter 3 and verse 2 of Joel. Chapter 3 and verse 2 of Joel. You've got here, "I will gather all nations," and he means that. This will lead to the battle of Armageddon and all nations under Antichrist hacking Israel and Jerusalem. I'll gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Valley of Jehoshaphat. If you've been to Israel, Jerusalem, you'll find the two valleys. On the east side, there's the valley of Kidron, which then leads from the old city of Jerusalem through and up to the Mount of Olives. On the north side of the Kidron Valley, which opens up, is what is called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It is a bit further away from Jerusalem as well, but that's the area roughly, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And the Lord says, I'll enter into judgment with them there. So I'm going to give an atonement for my people, my remnant of Israel. I will be merciful to the land, to the people. I'm going to restore blessings to Judah and Jerusalem. So Yahweh, or the Lord God of Israel, judges in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of the Kidron. We don't turn to it now, but you know in Matthew 20, there are three parables, sheep and the goats. Well, the Lord, when he comes back, judges. And those who are not, and anti-Semitic, are the goats. Separates them out. And that's Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 46. And the same principle then as now. It's anti-Semitism. What did you do to my people? What you did to them, if you bless them. In other words, it's the same principle. It's either anti-Semitism, the goats, or it's pro-Semitism for the Jew. How you have treated my people and how you have treated my land. Well, look in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. The Lord says, I'm going to enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, whom they scattered among the nations. They certainly did. Assyrians, Babylonians, and the Romans. They divided my land. They certainly divided the land of Israel up. 1917 Balfour Declaration promised the land for the Jewish people. Then they divided it up later on to King Abdullah of Jordan because he helped about 70-odd% away from the Jewish people and gave it to Jordan, but a small sliver of land, only about 11% of what will be theirs. So back to Joel then, and probably have a few minutes left. And we look at those verses, they looked at now, dividing the land, scattered the. And you can see what they did. Look in verse 3, they've cast lots of my people, given a boy in exchange or a harlot, sold a girl for wine they may drink. In other words, children have no value. Exactly like that now. That's so true, that is. So these specific evil actions by God's enemies and Israel's enemies, God will deal with. Now look in verse 4, there's the cities of Tyre and Sidon mentioned here, and the coast of Philistia. Will you retaliate against me? If you retaliate against me, swiftly speaking, I will return your retaliation upon your own head. What's interesting here, Tyre and Sidon, of course, the coast of Phoenicia, and that's now Lebanon. What is now Lebanon? And where it says about the coast of Philistia, that's the Gaza Strip, as it is today. Let's go to Zephaniah. Now, Zephaniah, keep on going after Joel. It's before Haggai and Zechariah. So keep going. If you come to Obadiah, keep going, Jonah, beyond Jonah, you've got Micah, then you've got Habakkuk. After Habakkuk, you've got Zephaniah. Zephaniah. And we'll end here and have a little break. Zephaniah. And this is where the Lord speaks. You've got it in your notes, Philistines or the Gaza Strip, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. Some time ago I did a whole tape ministry on this. Chapter 2 of Zephaniah 4 to 7. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. So that's the names of the idolatrous priests were pagan priests. Those who worship the host of heaven on the housetop. Sorry, that's chapter 1. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. Sorry. For Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday. And Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistine. I will destroy you so there shall be no inhabitant. Although I'm not going into the detail here, but in the Hebrew there's a play on words. For example, in that verse 4, Ekron, one of the five cities of the Philistines. Ekron, in the Hebrew, means to be rooted up. And Ashdod, the meaning of Ashdod in the Hebrew means relating to noonday. It's a play on words. Ashkelon shall be desolate. But the Lord is saying, I am going to judge Philistines. In other words, the Gaza Strip, I am going to judge the Palestinian consolation of the Cherethites. An interesting background study. So the Lord is saying, I am going to judge those who work. Originally five cities. So in other words, just to finish with this session, God's recompense is justly deserved. As you treat me and mine, says the Lord, I will do to you. God's just judgment. The reasons for retribution are clear. Harm my people, my heritage, and my land. I will judge these nations and any others like God's challenge to the anti-Semitic Gentiles. Can you defend yourself? Just go back with you to Joel again with me. Okay, verse 4, and we'll finish. Will you retaliate against me? Middle of verse 4. Will, if you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I'll return your retaliation upon your own head. In other words, he said, you defend yourself if you can, if you dare. Under the leadership of Antichrist, all nations will bring retaliation on your own head. So in other words, no such arrogance. The arrogance of the nations coming against Israel and the Jewish people. God says, what you do to my people, I'm going to do. It still is, it hasn't changed. And we look from verses 9 to
well, we didn't go on to